You can tell them who this was? No.
That's probably.
A scripture reading this morning is from Acts 13, and Glenys is going to read that for us. Thank you, Glenys. Either from there or up the front, or wherever you'd like to be. It's safe to walk through there, just.
Right. So the reading's from Acts 13. This is 44 to 48. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We have to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." I wonder if that's New Zealand. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honoured the word of the Lord, and all were appointed for eternal life, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed.
Thank you, Glenys. A theme for today is, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, before we go there, that's a statement from the Apostles' Creed. I thought I'd share with you a little bit about another kind of church. It's called a small country church. You know you're in a small country church when? Anybody heard this one? You're about to. Now, this has got an American slant, but I'm sure there's an interpretation for Kiwiland. So you know you're in a small country church when people wonder, when Jesus fed the 5,000, whether the two fish were bass or catfish, or rainbows or brass. People grumble about Noah getting coyotes in the ark. You know you're in a small country church when, and we'll just follow this through. So that when the preacher says, "I'd like to ask Bubba to help take up the offering," and five guys stand up. Opening day of hunting season is recognized as an official church holiday. And I actually thought of Steve when I read this. I thought, a member of the church requests to be buried in his four-wheel drive truck because it ain't never been in a hole it couldn't get out of. Prayers regarding the weather are standard practice. A choir group is known as the OK Chorale. The pastor wears boots. Four generations of the same family sit together and worship. Close. No such thing as a secret sin. Baptism is referred to as branding. There's a special fundraiser for a new septic tank. Finding and returning lost sheep isn't just a parable. High notes on the organ can set the dogs to howling. And the final words of the benediction are, "You all come back now, you hear." I've got one for an urban megachurch too, which you might appreciate, but I thought, that's us. With interpretation. This statement from the Apostles' Creed, I'll just read this part to you really. It says, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church," goes on, "the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting." I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Some have got a bit nervous about repeating that, and said, well, if I wanted to be a member of the Catholic Church, I would have joined the Catholic Church. But it's sort of misunderstanding what the word Catholic means. Can somebody help us out with that? What the word Catholic means?
Worldwide.
It means worldwide or universal. Absolutely, it's not the Roman Catholic Church per se, but the universal church, which is where the Roman Catholic Church got its name from, the idea of being a universal church. Means universal. So it is the church of every race, of every creed, of every group. That's the church worldwide. An amazing group of people. From every conceivable ethnic background comes the church. Most of the church is not white. It's for the ancients, the moderns, the young, the old, it's the Kiwi, the African, it's for whoever. This is the church. We belong to the family of the redeemed. I chose that statement because we are a family. And I think that the church is not understood like that. So often in our culture, we are so individualistic now that we struggle to realize that we're part of a great big family. We're part of the redeemed of the ages. And we stand on the shoulders of people that have gone before. And we've got to understand that the church came out of the East, not the West. The universal church. And I've chosen as the reading, and thank you, Glennis, for reading that so well for us. I've chosen as the reading for a very special reason. And I want us to think of the church a little bit differently, because we're all familiar with the purpose of the church, I'm sure. But I wanted to help us out a little bit with a slightly different take. Erwin McManus wrote a book on the church entitled An Unstoppable Force. I like the title. But he said, the indictment that we must receive is that the Christian faith, as we express it, is no longer seems to be a viable spiritual option. Masses gave the church a try and left wanting. We accuse them of not being willing to surrender to God, and they accuse us of not knowing him. People are rejecting Christ because of the church. Once we were called Christians by an unbelieving world, and now we call ourselves Christians and the world calls us hypocrites. That's a potent statement right there. Is it possible that it wasn't the nation that was becoming dangerously secular, but the church? We were neither relevant nor transcendent. We have become, in the worst of ways, religious. We are the founders of the secular nation. Erwin McManus always says something provocative. But what an indictment to say that that's the church. But I wonder how true that might be. I've got a feeling, even here in this place, that people drive past the church, see a bunch of cars outside and think, well, don't think. Just drive past. Don't even give it a second thought. That's the culture we live in. However, the world is often put off by the church. I love to quote Rick Warren quite often, and he said, I think I've used it here before, so you'll forgive me if it's a repeat. But he said this, people come into the kingdom of God because they know a Christian. People don't come into the kingdom of God because they know a Christian. That's another sad indictment on the church. Because I think, personally, that we as the church have kind of lost our way. I've been part of the church for a long time now, and served in a leadership role for a bunch of years. And I still have this desire to see the church be the church instead of a bunch of individuals that happen to meet together at the same address once a week or once a month or whatever. So the world is often put off by the church. We're turning to people to Christ or turning them away from him. There's no neutrality in this. It's an uncomfortable question that we have to face. So in order to answer the question, we have to ask ourselves the purpose and mission of the church. What is it? And then ask ourselves, are we fulfilling that purpose? So from the reading today, I'd like us to think about three little things, and it won't be long with us. We're to become a faith-centered community to be the church. Let's pick on the word community. We're having things in common, a community. We have turned, when we come to faith in Christ, we've turned from being an individual to being part of a community. Did you know that? We do not just add the church to our lifestyle. I honestly fear that is what conversion has meant for so many in our culture. We have added Jesus to our lifestyle. We've not turned from this to this. And so we've failed to become part of a community because we're living as individuals. Now, you might want to fight with me about that and take issue with me, but I put it to you that that's what I believe the church has become. But we are to be a faith-centered community. To me, it does something to me when I realise that you are part of my family and I am part of your family. And it doesn't matter where I go on the planet, I meet up with people who are Christ followers and I'm going to spend eternity with them ruling and reigning as kings and priests to our God. You might not like me, but you're stuck with me. I'm part of the family. A community. Listen to what the scripture said. We claim to be Bible believers here. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes? Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Hello? Each member belongs to all the others. That's a community. That's a community. That's from Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. You do not belong to yourself. This may come as a surprise for many in the church. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to the other members. We have an interconnectedness. We have a relationship that draws us together absolutely as community by the Holy Spirit. Do you think we're a community here yet? If we use community in a language that says, well, we're part of this community, what does it mean? When does the community come together? I'll leave that question hanging a little bit. Not only are we to be a community, but we're also to be a faith community, a believing community. Paul says this: we had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles. Now that was in our reading this morning. This is what Paul did to the Jewish community. And he said, because you have rejected this message, we're going to go to the Gentiles. Why did Paul go to the Jews first? Because they were the carriers. They were God's chosen people for a special reason, not just as chosen people, but they were chosen for a special reason, and that was to communicate the good news of Jesus to the world. They didn't do it so it went to the Gentiles. The writer of Acts tells us that it was not because of misunderstanding Paul's words that they became hostile to his message, but because of their jealousy that everyone was being drawn to Paul and the message he had to bring. He was the most popular person in town by the unbelieving Gentiles. But the Jewish community didn't like him, rejected his message. Embedded in that is something for us to consider as people who are religious people. The interesting thing for me in this story is that the people who were supposed to believe did not, and the people who were not supposed to believe did. There's something a little strange about that, isn't it? When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. How is the world going to believe the gospel if we act as though we do not believe it ourselves? If we're not excited about what God has done and changed by it? When we become faith-centered community, we're able to believe that God is going to do again what he has done, even if it's new directions. When we're a faith-centered community, we're able to believe God for the supernatural. We believe God for big things, not nothing. We're committed to the idea that there's nothing which God cannot do. And when that happens, people are drawn to God. They're never drawn to religion, and they're never drawn to the church. Do you know who they're drawn to? Jesus. I believe that we have so messed things up in our culture that when you talk about Jesus, people's mind goes to the church, and they know somebody in a church somewhere and say, no, thank you very much. Jesus, yes, but church, no. The people of Jesus' time are the same. Sinners, prostitutes, people of ill repute, marginalized, they love Jesus. They didn't go near the church because they weren't allowed in. Deeply within that comment, there's a message too. The second purpose of the church out of this story is that we're to become a God-centered community. So important. Gets to the root, I believe, of what we are as the church in our day. The Christian life is not about God doing things for us and answering all our prayers. He does do that, but it's not just about that. The church is not about getting your way and having people take care of you. We're the only organization on earth that exists for its non-members. Our central focus is on God, his will, his heart, his desire for us, most of all for his glory. I believe the church has progressed in so many ways, and yet we've regressed in so many ways. I fear, honestly, brothers and sisters in Christ, I fear that we've missed it. And we've got so taken up with form that we've missed function. We're so taken up with the way we do things that we've missed out on what we do. We're climbing up the ladder, but it's against the wrong wall. What do you think of this statement? If we do things the world's way, we're going to get the world's results. If we do things God's way, we're going to get God's results. So the question is, if Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, what does that mean? Could it be that we're in danger of not building his church, but building ours? Just saying. Erwin McManus says, the real tragedy is not that churches are dying, but that churches have lost their reason to live. All around the place, people are... churches are shrinking. Churches are being sold and becoming galleries and coffee shops and so on. Whereas there's an early time in this country's history when the Anglican Church came and... under the Reverend Williams, planted 1,000 churches, just like that. God did it once. He can do it again. I put to you that one of the things that could be on our agenda as a church here is to plant another church. There's enough of us. There's only 12 at the first church. Hello? Is that a good idea or what? New churches reach new people. Old churches have a tendency not to. Look, if I'm offending anyone here this morning, good. I say that in love, you know, I really do. So we saw this little dying synagogue that had lost its purpose and its reason to live in the story this morning. And when people started to flock to hear Paul's message, they were jealous, outraged, that they're going to listen to him and not come to us. Sometimes we might have to be open to the fact that God is at work and we're not part of it. But we need to be, and we can be, because we're to become a God-centered community, not a people-centered community. A God-centered community. True for the individual as well as the church, I believe. Center yourself in God. If we as a church center our life in God, we'll find that the deepest longings of our hearts will be realized. I'm committed to that. When we focus on God, we realize that it's not about getting our needs met by the group, but doing the will of God wholeheartedly and with passion. This is what it says in Mark 12:30. You know the scripture. Love the Lord your God with some of your heart and with some of your soul and with some of your mind and with just a little bit of your strength. We might laugh, but... Wow. Third purpose of the church is we're to become a world-centered community. We've touched on that a little bit in terms of our missionaries, and they're our team members in various places on the earth. It's the same company, different representatives. When the church comes to the place historically that it began to grow, and we can see this historically, it discovered it began to have political power. It could exert influence, so it began to focus on itself and do the things that would benefit and prosper itself. The church became an institution rather than a movement. Eva and I were privileged to be part of a church community in the United States that, in a small town, that made up 11% of the town. That's quite a number. It's a mega church in a small town. Now, that 11% of the community, didn't matter where you go, they were on the boards, they were on the committees, they were everywhere. They're everywhere. Wherever you go, you met people from Gremlin Community Church. They were just part of the whole fabric of the place. And the influence that was brought to bear on the church, on the community, was amazing. People actually changed dates because of the people of that church that couldn't make it. Have you ever heard that in New Zealand? Works the other way around. So there is a place, I believe, for us to become so influential in the right way. But the institution in the wrong way has happened, unfortunately. We began to have a fortress mentality when we were intended to be a revolution. We became a monument instead of a movement. So what was our mission and our assignment? I just want to refresh us about that. This is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. I think that covers most people. And he said also, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So often we as churches say, well, what is our mission? When are we going to find out what our mission is? Oh, I just gave it to you. Jesus gave it to us. We don't have to mess with that. We just need to do it. We don't actually have to have a prayer meeting about it. We just need to do it. So the focus is not to be preserving the church, but reaching the world. And I believe that the reason churches die, I'm not suggesting this church is dying, but I've seen so many that have. The reason churches die, in my view, is because we're trying to preserve our stuff instead of reach the world. We pull up the drawbridge with the moat around there to protect and preserve what we've got, rather than reaching the world and putting down not just a whole lot of drawbridges, but we build bridges that don't have any way of pulling them up. We're not to promote our own well-being. We're not here to promote our pleasures and plans. We are here to fulfill the purposes of God. That is the church. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. It is a world-centered community. I'll quote Erwin McManus again out of his book. He said, "You cannot wash the feet of a dirty world if you refuse to touch it." Oh. Oh, wow. Wow. So it is in serving that the church finds its strength. When it ceases to serve the world, it begins to atrophy. Now, Glenys, can you tell me what that medical term means?
Shrivel or shrink.
Shrivel or shrink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waste away.
Waste away. When the church refuses to serve the world, it wastes away. Isn't that scary? So Paul reminds the Jews of God's word through Isaiah the prophet. He said, "I've made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And that is what God intended all along. To the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. This is us. We're the Gentiles. As I reminded you, the people of Israel were not the chosen people because they were special, but because they had a special purpose. And so do we. So do we. We're a community that's very, very different. We're called together as a faith community. We're to be God-centered and God-focused, and we're to be a world-reaching, ruling, reigning community of faith. So, I don't believe as a church we need to get despondent. On the contrary, we need to be absolutely excited that we're a group of people called the church and called into being in this place. There's still an awful lot of people that are not part of the kingdom in New Zealand yet. Approximately 90%. You know, if we won't do it, God will find someone who will. God has made us to be a light, bring salvation to the ends of the earth. We are the ends of the earth. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. That's from Luke 8. We're called to be universal Christians. What good is a candle? I was actually going to bring a candle and light it here and put the lights on. What good is it here? Needs to be out where there's darkness. On Thursday night, I shared with the group one of the things that we, and I'm going to close with this, but to me it was a great example of recognizing our authority in Christ and who we are. We led a small team, an intercessory team, to New Orleans after the Katrina hurricane deal there. Unbelievable devastation. And New Orleans is a place that is full of voodoo and magic. You familiar with that? I mean, really, that is the religion of the town. And people's lives are wrecked by it. I mean, seriously wrecked by this demonization, if you will. So with that team, we came across this voodoo shop, and I said, let's go in there and see what happens. One of the team said, don't you know we can't go in there? I said, absolutely we can. We're a light on a hill. The fullness of God dwells in us by a spoon. Let's walk into here and mess this thing up a little. So we did. And within a couple of minutes, we were the only people in the store. There's all these gadgets and things around the walls. The two people that were behind the counter started to get agitated. And they started to pace up and down. Not a word was said. But who was in them recognized who was in us. And they paced and got very agitated. One of them left the room. A minute later, the other one left the room and there was no one but us. And not a word was said. You don't even have to say stuff at times. Just be there. Oh, I'm glad that I'm part of the church, the universal, holy church of Jesus. God is doing something awesome on the planet. I'm glad that we're part of it, maybe to a small measure, but maybe even to a greater measure if we want to. He's given us that awesome privilege and responsibility. What you want to do, he will give you. Your faith, I mean, you can come along, you can bring a teaspoon into the measure you're given, the measure you can have that, or you can bring along a dump truck. You know, and I think it's the same with what we do as the church. He's given us the awesome responsibility of being the church here. Let me pray. Then we're going to, I think it's an MP4 song that we've got, John. Yeah. Then we'll listen to the song as we close. So God, thank you for this word this morning from your holy scripture. Lord, so often we read the scripture and it speaks, but wow. Lord, as I read this, I'm so concerned that the parallel that comes hard and heavy to us as the church in our day and in this place and in this time, Lord, there's a message there for us. I pray that you will cause us to be the church again with an incredible understanding of the anointing that we have to reach out to a world that is so lost and so hurting. And in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to this as we close. That's what we stand and sing. We are a part of the Holy Catholic Church as a local congregation. Let's go now and be the church. Amen?
Amen.
Now, and that is more to do with the stomach and taste. Is the coffee cart coming?
Yeah.
Coffee cart is here, so for those who like specialty, you know, fufu coffees, they're available out there. The instant kind is available out there. Let's enjoy one another as the church as we share a meal together, shall we? Okay.